It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Folks, Larry Kudlow here. Money and politics. Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and columnist. Columnist for The Hill. And I see this. Look at this. www.lizpeek.com. That may or may not be new, but it showed up on my sheet. Steve Moore, author of Trumponomics, where the introduction really sold the book. He's also working with FreedomWorks and the fabulous Unleash Prosperity Daily Hotline, which is really great stuff. You know, Liz, reading your column, the New York City suicide mission should alarm the entire nation. I had Michael Goodwin on earlier. I'm not sure I can take another segment on the downfall of New York City. I mean, I'm ready to go out and hang myself.
I think what's so upsetting about it, Larry, is not just that progressives and Democrats generally are paying no attention to how their policies actually impact real cities, real people, etc., how it drives away employers, raises taxes, and therefore drives away individuals and leaves their cities fiscally much, much worse off. No one seems to actually care about the real-life data that we have that are pretty convincing that this bail reform and higher taxes and all these things progressives have put in have really had serious consequences. But the thing is, it's happening in other cities too. It's not just New York. And for the life of me, I cannot understand how New York legislators, faced with actually plugging the budget hole in New York because of federal money coming from the rescue plan, the American Rescue Plan, how could they think that raising taxes was a good idea?
Because they're all socialists.
I don't understand it.
They're all class warfare socialists.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. No, I mean, you think. Steve Moore, Reagan used to always say, though, somebody should turn off something. You're interfering, whether it's TV or something.
There you go.
Thank you. So, Steve Moore, when Reagan was confronted with pessimism, let's say like Liz Peek and Michael Goodwin are with regard to New York City, Reagan used to always say, okay, you've shown me the manure. Now, where's the pony? All right, Steve, where's the pony in this story?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, look, I agree exactly with Liz that this is like some kind of badge of honor for liberals that they're raising taxes through the roof. Even, by the way, when New York City and state admit they don't even need the revenue. So what is the point of this? It's the point of just soaking the rich. You know, our friend Art Lapper says a good tax system tries to make poor people rich, not rich people poor. And sometimes I really think the liberals have it upside down. They really are trying to make rich people poor. And so I think the silver lining here is the reason you're hearing background noise. I'm in Florida right now, Larry, and a little wind by the beach. But my gosh, Florida is so booming. I mean, it is incredible. It's the biggest boom I've ever seen. There's no houses for, you know, you can't buy a house here. The restaurants are packed. People do social distance and wear masks. But the point is, you know, when you get the policies right, it's not that complicated. You can see real prosperity, and it's happening here in Florida. It's just not happening in New York. And I got to tell you, all people are talking about in Florida right now is how stupid people are in New York.
It's true. That is true. I've heard that too.
I like that.
Here's a corker. This is being done in a time when it has been shown over the past year that a great many people can work outside of New York. They do not have to be in Manhattan to do deals and to sell real estate and all kinds of other businesses. So they're jeopardizing the city at a time where it is perhaps most vulnerable, not just because of rising street crime and things that are making people move away. It has been said the only thing that really drives people out of a city is crime, and I would agree with that. If you're not feeling safe, you're not going to go back. But honestly, this remote working phenomenon, it won't work for every industry, and a lot of companies are going to want to pull people back, but it's definitely going to make a change. And I think for many, many reasons, this increased tax and complete oblivious response to what's going on the street level in New York City and not opening the schools, wow, what a recipe for disaster.
You know, Steve.
Well, can I just add one thing to what Liz just said? Because this is important. I mean, the victims, so look, New York suffers as many cities do. My home city of Chicago, which as you know, Larry, I love Chicago. It's a great, great city. But it's being destroyed by the same thing, progressivism. And here's the point. Who is hurt by the bad schools? Who is hurt by the crime on the street? Who is hurt, Larry, by the high taxes? Not the rich people, they leave. The people who are going to suffer in New York are going to be the lowest income people who are stuck behind. They're the people who suffered the most from the rioting because those property values in those low-income immigrant neighborhoods are falling.
So, you know, Lee Zeldin is running for governor of New York.
Yeah.
And he's a very smart guy, and he's a very articulate guy. So I'm just thinking, as you two are talking, that he ought to run on the Florida model, and distinguish between the Florida model and the New York model. The Florida model is low taxes, school choice, plenty of law and order, minimal regulations. they like business. The New York model is not working. I mean, you've got half of Florida's from New York anyway, so it would probably resonate. I mean, I think that, Liz, we need to tell that to Lee Zeldin. The Florida model, we can coin that.
Yeah, I think that's actually very smart, because Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has obviously become a national figure because his state has been so successful. He clearly is so dangerous, or he's so threatening to Democrats, that they are now engaged in hit pieces like the one we saw on 60 Minutes. They're going to be going after Ron DeSantis nonstop because, among other things, it's like Trump beating Hillary Clinton. Ron DeSantis has embarrassed Andrew Cuomo. He has embarrassed Gavin Newsom and all the other blue state Democrats who have failed so badly over the last year and, indeed, over the last several years. So I think you're right. I think, you know, this, it works, and the other doesn't work. It's very simple.
Yeah, Zeldin and DeSantis are pals, by the way, from the House. Steve Moore, I want to switch gears a little bit. You have to explain to me, President Biden and Treasury Secretary Yellen are running around saying the reason we have to raise taxes is because until now there's been a race to the bottom regarding tax cuts. Like, everyone in the world is going to zero, and we have to stop this. Would you just explain this to me? Where are there zero tax rates? I wish there were, by the way. And what is this race to the bottom stuff?
Well, you know, it's a race. It is a race. It's not a race to the bottom. It's a race to the top. And under Donald Trump, thanks to great economists like you, we were winning that race, right? I mean, we were importing, how much imported capital did we, like $1 trillion or something like that from the, I mean, it was just free money from cutting the rates and lowering the repatriation tax and making America more competitive. So we were winning the race because we were putting America first. And by the way, I think it was you, Larry, who said on your show this week that Ireland is at 12.5%
on the
corporate rate.
And they won't.
If we go to 33%, this isn't complicated, folks. If we're at 12.5% and they're at 33, I mean, if we're at 33 and they're at 12.5, you know, you're going to have the Empire State Building in Dublin, Ireland.
We're going to have higher tax rates than France. Almost unimaginable. We're going to have higher tax rates than France.
Russia and Sweden have lower corporate rate than we do.
So, China does.
Yeah, well, they will. That's correct. So we went from, we had the highest corporate rate pre-Trump. Then the Trump tax cuts moved it down, so we had the 14th highest. Nobody went to zero. Most of these corporate taxes have come down. They're in the 20s someplace. If we go the Biden route, according to the Tax Foundation, state and federal will be back to number one. The U.S. will be number one in corporate taxes. That's a dubious burden. So I just don't understand this logic of race to the bottom. I'm just looking. You know, Yellen is going to ruin her reputation with this kind of phony stuff.
I think that's right, Larry. I think she comes across as an academic who is very beholden to and partial to these multinational agreements and accords, most of which have really never produced anything for the United States, certainly, because we always end up being the group that's giving away more than we gain. But she somehow thinks that she's going to convince a whole group of nations to reform their own tax codes so as to benefit the United States. Mm. It's pretty astonishing, and I think actually her star is falling for a lot of reasons right now, including the fact that apparently she really doesn't communicate very well with others in the administration, and she has left behind, it seems to me, whatever kind of middle of the road approach he takes to fiscal sanity. I mean,
yes,
that's gone forever.
That's correct. And she's unfortunately, with respect to data points, she's declaring a lot of falsehoods, stuff that's easily checked. And I think, look, I know this. You got to go out there and you defend your boss, but there comes a time when you have to be, you know, dead serious with credibility on facts and figures. You just have to be. Otherwise, you won't have any credibility.
There's another point, which is that it's timely, which is, you know, that one of the great economists of the 20th century, Robert Mundell, died last weekend. And he was famous for many things, but I think one of his most famous and important, you know, pioneering insights was that capital flows to where it's most nicely treated.
Right.
It's, you know, if you have high regulations and high punitive taxes on capital, what Mundell showed was that the capital would leave. And of course, that's true. And so the left is now kind of conceding the point, and they're saying, well, you know, we're going to just raise taxes everywhere in the world.
No, they won't.
Have countries that will.
They won't.
They won't do it.
Europe will never go.
China isn't going to play with that.
That's right.
They'd love to suck our capital
That's
out
right.
of our country. So,
and the Europeans, you know, the OECD stuff, they will never go to a 21% global minimum tax. Never, never, never. They're talking about 11 or 12%, okay? Not 21. So the idea that we're going to persuade them, and again, France is at the center of this. Bruno Le Maire, very smart guy, their finance minister. They're cutting corporate taxes. They're not going to raise the minimum tax. No way to 21%. I do want to raise this point, though, to both of you. I'll just put it out there. One thing that people who believe in free enterprise and free markets have to assert is that class warfare is wrong. It doesn't exist. That investment and capital investment is the worker's best friend. So let me just say this as simply as I can. You all can tear it apart if you want. But look, everybody wants to create good-paying jobs. But you can't have a good-paying job without a healthy, growing business. And you can't have a healthy, growing business unless it's properly financed by investors, you know, or companies, or entrepreneurs. So that there's no split between labor and capital. Karl Marx was dead wrong, and we should have learned that. Investment is labor's best friend, Liz. It's just that simple.
Well, I think the economic theory behind that is that by investing, you increase productivity, and that productivity gain translates into higher wages for workers. One of the great things that happened under President Trump was began to turn around corporate investment, and you saw that pretty directly within about like 18 months lag, I think it was, in terms of wages going up. But Larry, I think you're asking a lot of the right questions. The basic question is, Biden talks about wanting to create American jobs by manufacturing all the things we need for a green economy. How can you actually attract businesses to invest in the United States to make things that are now made in Asia or in Europe, like solar panels, when we're raising taxes and increasing all kinds of regulations, and including, by the way, regulations that will add to power costs? How is that supposed to happen? Is he going to mandate that businesses create manufacturing plants here? You can't do that, I don't think. So what do you see him doing that actually would lead to that outcome?
See, I think the problem here is they just don't believe in it. They don't believe in the need for a hospitable investment climate, as Steve mentioned. They don't understand. Steve, remember we used to use the term the global race for capital. Do you remember that?
Right.
Right. The Bidens
don't
understand the global race for capital. Instead, they're running around, the president, everybody yelling too, that there's a race to the bottom. I mean, I don't know literally what they're talking about, Steve.
Well, I would say this, that this was, who wrote that book? It was Quicksilver Capital. It was one of the major CEOs, one of the great CEOs. I'll look it up. I forget his name, but he was fabulous. But anyway, you're right. You know, capital is instantaneous. With a click of a button, you can move capital out of one country into another in these Quicksilver Capital markets. And, you know, my mentor was Dick Armey. Do you remember Dick Armey?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And he was famous for our Army's axioms. And one that just always stuck in my mind was that, you know, he used to say, liberals love jobs, but they hate employers.
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
You know, it's true. Right. You can't have one without the other. Right. I mean, it's not complicated.
That's what I'm getting at, actually, capital and labor together. Just scanning other stuff. Liz Peek, are you keeping track now of this goofy Supreme Court commission? You know, this is court packing. This is the beginning of an attempt to pack the court.
Larry, this is the moment where I honestly think I'm losing my mind because I really am ready to march on Washington. I'm actually completely serious. I mean, Republicans are always – I was so incensed to see Daryl Issa, a very good guy, you know, Republican representative from California, issue a tweet that basically sort of said it's regrettable. Regrettable? Mm. What kind of word is regrettable? This is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And I really think – that this could be a turning point. I mean, Kim Strassel wrote a very good article yesterday in the Journal about Kevin McCarthy and other Democrats raising tons of money from small donors. The corporate PAC money, guess what, is going to Biden. Small individual donations have swelled the coffers of Republicans. That means people are getting engaged. And I really believe that the Republican Party needs to get angry. It needs to, if need be, to turn out on the streets and protest this stuff. When if you think about the word activist, that's a Democrat. That's always a Democrat. Why don't we have Republican activists? And if any issue could basically sway this country in a really profound way, I think this is it.
You know, Steve, court packing and the near cousin to court packing is the filibuster debate. Because if you blow up the filibuster, Katie bar the door, what gets through? And, of course, if you pack the court, which I think will be incredibly unpopular like it was with FDR, but in any case, if you pack the court, then Katie bar the door. Everything will be ideological. Nothing will be constitutional.
So this was exactly the point I was going to make, is that in addition to, you know, what you guys were just talking about the tech court packing, You have the Democrats wanting to change the rules of elections, right, in a way that will get rid of voter ID and things that ensure integrity in elections, which is what we all want. And then they want to get rid of the filibuster rule, which is, you know, our whole constitutional system is really based on protecting the rights of the majority. Mm-hmm. We are not a democracy in this country. We are not a democracy. We are a representative republic that protects the rights of the minority. And I'm just surprised, Larry and Liz, that the Democrats are so short-sighted that they don't see this could be used against them in a way that would be very harmful to them when they're in the minority.
You know, there's a speculation that this is all of these things are happening because Chuck Schumer is panicked about AOC making a primary bid for his seat. That, I mean, the biggest unknown question in Washington, truly, maybe, Larry, you know the answer to this, is who is driving the Biden bus? You know, is it Obama? I don't think it is Obama. Is it Ron Klain? Many people think it's Chuck Schumer because AOC has kind of, as we all know, mused about presenting a challenge to him. The progressive left is very energized and would put a lot of money towards that. And he is fending it off with allowing all this stuff to go forward. I think it is a catastrophe for Democrats. I think they will get blasted in 2022. I surely hope so. But I think maybe that's where it's coming from. I can't imagine otherwise.
Yeah, it's coming from Schumer, but it's really coming from Bernie Sanders and AOC because the far left is reigning very high right now. And Nancy Pelosi, too. I mean, Nancy Pelosi wasn't always this kind of lefty, but she is now. So the progressive leftism is very powerful, and I think it will doom them next year. But then again, we don't know that. That's just
an
opinion.
We don't.
And right now, the stock market is saying, don't worry. It's not going to happen. All right? But I keep asking people, all our stock market geniuses, really, are you being a little bit exuberant right now? I mean, you see what's out there, Steve Moore? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be a bear, but gee whiz, if this stuff goes through, it can't be good for stocks or companies or investment or wealth creation or anything.
Well, everybody's betting on America right now, and it's and historically that's not a bad bet. But I agree with you that these new rules. I mean, this is what you know. This is like a banana republic. You know, when a new strongman comes in, this is what they do. They change all the rules, you know, so they can do what they want. I mean, again, I don't understand why. I know a lot of Democrats listen to your show, Larry. Come on, you can't. Democrats out there, you can't be for this. This is outrageous. It's just trampling the rights of changing all the rules in the middle of the game. It's like being the banker in Monopoly, and then you just keep taking $100 bills out of the bank to win the game. That's essentially what they're doing.
Well, I surely hope a lot of Democrats listen to the show also. I hope.
I know they do. I've got Democratic friends who listen to your show, and they're the ones. They're the ones who have to speak out against this.
Well, you'll have to persuade Robert Wolf. Anyway, Steve Moore, thank you. Liz Peek, thank you, as always. Folks, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, please join us every Saturday. I'm Kudlow, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will see you next weekend.